The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I want to start off by asking, is this reading from the gospel about judgment or promise? It can be interpreted in many ways, and how you interpret this scripture hinges on your concept of the character of God. Is God the big bookkeeper in the sky who tallies up your sins and your virtues to see if the columns balance out or who might get to heaven? Or is God the gracious, loving Father who wants only the best for you? I was raised in the Evangelical United Brethren Church, a conservative branch of Christianity. I was taught that God was the ruler, the one who had a notebook on each one of us. And each time we misbehaved, God marked it down so God wouldn't forget. I grew up with a God of judgment. But as I've matured in faith, I have come to believe in the loving presence of God. God is love. God is gracious and merciful. God wants what's best for all of us. So in these four verses from John 15, I wonder what it tells us about God, about Jesus, and how we live our lives. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Roles are important. We'd like to believe that we are in control of our lives, that we have the power to do so much good in the world, and the world will be saved by what we do. But that's where we go wrong. We are the branches, and the branches can do nothing on their own. They must stay connected to the vine. And that vine is Jesus. Being rooted in Jesus, who is rooted in God. That's how it works. Us, Jesus, God. A little further on, we'll see how we can live that out in our everyday lives. But verse 2 is the verse that gives me heartburn. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's the way the NIV interprets it. The NRSV is what we usually use, but even it says, he removes every branch. Really? Does God cut off people? Wow, I know I can't be good enough to produce fruit, good fruit, or any fruit. Is there any hope for us? It's rather intimidating, don't you think? So I read some commentaries that helped me understand better how to grow grapes. It seems that some vines fall down and they lay on the ground. And while they're laying on the ground, they sprout small, tiny roots. The roots don't go very deep, and they do produce grapes, but they're very small and they're very sour. Now you could cut off those branches, or you could remove them. But the Greek word can be translated differently. It can be translated lifted up. Lifted up. Lift up that branch, tie it to the trellis so that it gets its nourishment from the vine. Now, according to your perception of God, which would you choose? God lifts up every person who falls down or tries so hard to be a good person and doesn't quite feel that they are good enough. God lifts them up and ties them to Jesus. And when we're attached to the vine, then life makes more sense. We really feel like God created us good. So, how do we get attached to Jesus? Verse 3 says, you've already been cleansed by the word I've spoken. It's not that you've been pruned or cleansed or lifted up. It's because of the words that Jesus spoke. That word is nothing less than scripture, listening to Jesus, coming to worship, hearing and heeding what Jesus said, and patterning our lives after the way Jesus lives. That's what cleanses us. I wish I would have had this interpretation when I was struggling with the view of God as bookkeeper. It would have brought me so much joy to know that when I fall down, God lifts me up and attaches me to the vine once again. It brings peace and joy to me. But now we come to the part about living out that promise. Many times I've used Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. And here is verse 4 from The Message. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined to me. The phrase that pops out to me is, make your home in God. For me, that conjures up relief. Coming home after a long journey, you enter the house and you breathe a sigh of relief. I'm home. Most people love home. But home is not a house. Home is where you're loved. Home is where you can be authentically yourself and not have to hide any part of you. Making your home in God is about taking the time to commune with God, to listen to God, to talk to God. And we can make our home in God because God has already made a home in us. God is here right now. The last time I gave a sermon, or maybe three sermons ago, I gave you an acronym that helps me remember how to stay connected to the vine. Do you remember PIGSO? PIGSO. Prayer. Prayer. Having a prayer buddy. Having a prayer circle. Praying before worship. Praying at meals. Centering prayer. Meditation. I is for inviting. And that's not just evangelism. Inviting is welcoming people into your circle. Maybe you don't know somebody, but to invite them in. Inviting. Giving. Most people think that's about money, and it is. The church can use your money for good. But giving is also about giving of yourself. Being a literacy volunteer, helping with the roadrunner, giving of your time and your talent. S is for study. Find a Bible study, either online or in a group. Find a Bible study that fits your schedule. But find one. Be with people as they read God's word and talk about it. Serving. This is one of the things that attracted me to All Saints was their serving. Family Promise, VBS, Making Repairs, Singing, Roadrunner Food Bank, serving. People outside this church. Encouraging. Now, most people would say that's not a spiritual discipline, but it is. If you would concentrate on giving an encouraging word instead of a word of judgment, you are living out God's purpose for you. Saying a kind word, writing a note, making a phone call, even if you don't know why you're making the phone call, God has prompted you to be encouraging. And worship. The word, the service, the sacraments, the fellowship. We are the body of Christ. And we worship together. We don't worship each other or the pastor. We worship God. So these verses are not about judgment, as I was taught. These verses are about promise. It's about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.